UNESCO describes traditional craftsmanship as the most tangible manifestation of intangible cultural heritage. There are numerous expressions of traditional craftsmanship present in all cultures and societies. Quite often, there is an interconnection between handmade crafts and immaterial art forms such as music and dance. In the pre-colonial kingdom of Bamoun in Cameroon, ceremonies such as state festivals, royal weddings, and funerals were marked with song and dance. During these celebrations, intricately handmade wooden face masks decorated with glass beads, cowrie shells, and even bronze sheets were worn by the dancers and left a vivid impression on anyone who saw them. A number of these masks, as well as other traditional crafts from communities in Cameroon, make up a part of the Gijs Engelhorn Museum's collection of African artifacts. The museum, simply known as the REM, obtained many of these artifacts from Frans and Marie Paulina Torbeka. So, who exactly were Frans and Marie Paulina? How did they acquire these artifacts? And just how are they connected to Cameroon? Hello and welcome to A Trail of Artifacts. I am your host, Cheruto. In this podcast miniseries, we tell the stories of artifacts taken from the German Empire's former African colonies, the people who brought them to Mannheim City, and how these artifacts became a part of the REM's World Collection. This podcast is a project by Kulturweit Tandems of the German Commission for UNESCO in cooperation with the Gijs Engelhorn Museum. If you wish to listen to this podcast in German, click the link in the description for access to all our uploaded episodes. Frans Torbeka was born in November 1875 and spent his formative years in Heidelberg. As a little boy, he had an asthmatic condition that hindered him from participating in many activities. Confined to the house, he spent most of his time with his face buried between books, using his imagination to travel and explore the world. He enjoyed reading travelogues and was fascinated by personalities like Hermann Wissmann, who we talk about in the previous episode, and Heinrich Torbeka, his uncle who was a renowned scholar in Asian cultures. Frans Torbeka's desire to travel no doubt inspired his choice to study and eventually teach geography. In January 1905, when he was 29, Torbeka relocated from Heidelberg to Mannheim and developed contact with the Imperial Colonial Office. Through this contact, he landed the job of accompanying Kurt Hassert, a geographer based in Cologne, on an expedition to Cameroon. This expedition was done on behalf of the Imperial Colonial Office in order to provide useful knowledge for the colonial administration and to examine the Maninguba Mountains and Cameroon's hinterland topographically and economically. The team arrived in Cameroon in October 1907. In this expedition, Torbeka was Kurt Hassert's assistant and therefore responsible for organizing the trip's more practical elements. In addition to this, he was the expedition's photographer and also curated a collection for the Ethnographical Museum in Berlin. They traveled through northwestern Cameroon and reached the previously unexplored grassland region. On his return to Mannheim in 1908, Torbeka wrote a report about his observations of the cultures around Maninguba. He also received a teaching position at the Mannheim Commercial College, where he gave lectures about the economic importance of Cameroon for the German colonial power. An unexpected positive of the expedition for Frans Torbeka was that he met his future wife on the crossing to Cameroon. Marie Paulina Berthold, who was 25 years old at the time, was on an educational trip with her father in Cameroon. When the couple married in 1909, she took her husband's name and from then on became Marie Paulina Torbeka. In 1911, Frans Torbeka turned his report about the Maninguba region into a dissertation and began preparing for another expedition to Cameroon, this time as the leader. The expedition was on behalf of the German Colonial Society, known in German as Deutsche Kolonialgesellschaft, DKG in short. This society, which worked to promote the ideologies of German colonialism and expansion, wanted the highlands of central Cameroon explored, especially the area west of the Mbam River. This planned journey almost failed because Franz Torbeka insisted on taking his wife with him. Some members of the DKG were skeptical about a woman's participation in the expedition, claiming that she would be a hindrance. But Franz Torbeka refused to leave without her, and the DKG had no choice but to grudgingly consent to her presence. After all, Marie Paulina Torbeka was a rather energetic lady, they ultimately argued. She could possibly be useful and a valuable incentive for her husband. However, she would not receive a salary and would have to pay for the travel expenses out of her own pocket. To fund the journey, the Torbeckers raised 10,000 Reichsmark of their own funds and asked the Mannheim City Council for a financial contribution of the same amount. In exchange, Franz Torbeka would curate a collection for the city's planned colonial museum. The largest funds were pooled from the DKG, which contributed a total of 20,000 Reichsmark for the expedition. In return, the society hoped to obtain results that would be useful for colonial practice. These included, for example, information on agricultural production possibilities, soil conditions, settlement conditions, and population density. Proposed routes for the expansion of the railroad network were also important. This shows how scientific expeditions were harnessed to strengthen the German colonial project. In the case of Franz and Marie Paulina Torbeka, the collaboration was done out of full personal conviction for the German colonial policy, as will be heard later in this episode. The Torbeckers departed for Cameroon in October 1911, accompanied only by a geographer named Leo Weibel as the expedition assistant. By the time they made this trip, Cameroon had been a German colony for 27 years. The German flag was planted in Cameroon in July 1884. This was 4 months before the start of the Berlin Conference that led to the partition of Africa. In all the years leading up to Franz Torbeka's second expedition, there had been very little exploration of the Cameroon interior. Attempts by European explorers to gain access to the hinterland in order to acquire goods more cheaply had been met with bitter resistance from local communities. All this changed in the 1890s when European colonial armies added the newly invented machine gun to their arsenal, thereby gaining an advantage in battles with Africans. Once the interior was opened up, scientific expeditions such as that of the Torbeckers became increasingly possible. The main goal of the Torbeka expedition was the geographic geological exploration of Cameroon's highlands and the cartographical survey of the area. Until then, there had only been inaccurate maps created by military officers during wars of subjugation. The expedition lasted until the beginning of 1913, and the group covered more than 2,500 kilometers on foot and on horseback. As the leader of the expedition, Franz Torbeka oversaw the practical aspects of the trip and mainly took care of the cartographic work. Leo Weibel, his assistant, was specialized in plant and animal geography, but also supported in the collection of general geographic data. Marie Paulina Torbeka was responsible for the food and medical care of the expedition members, which were typical female tasks. But she also actively participated in the scientific work. For example, she collected ethnological data and acquired ethnological objects. She also assisted her husband and Leo in the collection of geographical studies, especially when Leo became seriously ill with dysentery, an intestinal infection, and had to leave the expedition prematurely. She also served as the expedition's photographer and painter. Marie Paulina Torbeka had enjoyed a professional artist's education with lessons in Berlin and Paris, as well as at the Worpswede Artists' Colony in the Lower Saxony state. During the expedition, she made numerous sketches of mountain profiles and landscapes and painted about 100 watercolors. She captured around 800 photos during the Cameroon trip. The glass negatives of about 400 of these are still preserved today. In drawings and photographs, Marie-Paulina Torbecker captured the things that could not be transported to Europe, namely the people, the villages, and nature. In keeping with their agreement with the Mannheim City Council, the Torbeckers created an ethnological collection of around 1,300 artifacts that mainly comprised of art and design objects. In 1913, only a short time after their return from Cameroon, they gave the collection to the city of Mannheim. Today, the artifacts assembled by the Torbeckers form a substantial part of the African collection in the Reichs-Engelhorn Museum. The artifacts, as well as their mode of acquisition, was well documented by the Torbeckers. There still exists a handwritten original index by Franz Torbecker in which, for each acquired object, a short description, the indication of origin with information about the place and the community or the previous owner, as well as the purchase price are given. The inventory also shows what barter goods, in addition to money, were used to acquire the objects. These included cloth, blankets, tobacco, matches, and beads, as well as European items such as knives, spoons, scissors, mirrors, combs, pomades, and perfumes. Although the objects were paid for, it cannot automatically be assumed that there was a fair transaction. There were strong power asymmetries between the German colonial rulers and the local population, which makes it very difficult to assess the actual circumstances of the acquisition in retrospect. There also exists the possibility that Torbecker obtained a number of artifacts by having other people violently acquire them on his behalf. During their time in Cameroon, Franz and Marie-Paulina Torbecker's perception of Africans was no different from that of their European contemporaries. They viewed Africans as primitive, savage, and barbaric, while the Europeans saw themselves as civilized and progressive. As a colonial mistress, Marie-Paulina Torbecker also repeatedly demonstrated this supposed superiority through everyday humiliation towards the staff, when haggling with local trading partners, or if necessary, with violence. In her travel diary, one can read about her treatment of porters.
For now, the only way to keep people from pouncing on their food like beasts and snatching as much as possible before it's ready to be distributed is to use the whip. It's often wild when we set out in the morning. They wrestle and scratch like madmen for light burdens, and roar like naughty children when they are taken away from them. I had to hit a few people hard on the fingers with my tins because they tried to grab the half-empty crates from under my hands while I was packing.
Such accounts were interspersed with commentary that objectified African people, particularly the men. In one such entry, she describes the roars she saw when she entered Douala.
They are wonderful to look at, these dark brown, naked figures, who at most wear a narrow loincloth, outdoors, in the sun, against the blue water, in lively, strong movement. This strenuous work has formed the body so magnificently that they look like a flock of walking, gleaming bronzes. The fewer clothes they wear, the more beautiful they are.
Franz Torbecker also liked to show off his power. During his research in Cameroon, he invaded the privacy of the local people and repeatedly demanded provisions, space, and porters for his huge caravan. The belief in his own superiority and the infallibility of science prevented any form of reflection, and as a result, the resistance and self-confidence of the local population could not be respected. A good example of this is when Franz Torbecker slapped a local ruler who refused to provide substitute porters and who had also laughed loudly and derisively in the scientist's face. In retaliation, a spear that was likely intended for France was launched into the Thorbecke's tent at night, hitting Marie Paulina in the head. She recovered after receiving treatment at a nearby military station in Yoko. In instances where there was collaboration, particularly by African rulers, a more tolerant attitude was taken up. Such is the case with King Joya, the ruler of the Bamoun community whose kingdom was in the northwest of Cameroon. During his reign, King Joya managed to strike a balance between introducing reforms to adopt European customs while maintaining the cultural traditions of his people. He is remembered as a charismatic king who promoted the development of arts in his kingdom and as a great inventor who invented a writing system to help preserve the history of his people. The king and his family had a good relationship with the Thorbeckers. Multiple objects in the Thorbecke collection, including the masks mentioned earlier, as well as sculptures of people and animals, can be traced back to the Bamoun community. The artists who created these pieces worked under the king's supervision in the city of Fuman, the center of power of the Bamoun kingdom. Aside from the Bamoun, the Thorbeckers also acquired artifacts from other communities in Cameroon, including the Tikar, the Wute, and the Bamileke. Many artifacts acquired from these communities were handmade wood carvings, such as stools with ornate bases designed to look like one person or several people are holding the seat of the stool up on their hands, heads, or backs. Franz Thorbecke had been an advocate of the German colonial idea even before his expeditions to Cameroon, but his enthusiasm grew even more afterwards. In their own ways, both he and his wife supported the idea of Germany's colonial expansion and were committed to strengthening the German colonial project after their time in Cameroon. With Franz Thorbecke, these ideas were perpetuated through his academic career and his public engagements. He analyzed the results of his second expedition and published a 5-volume work titled In the Highlands of Central Cameroon. His wife worked intensively on these books as well and even published the 5th volume herself after Franz Thorbecke's death in 1945. Nevertheless, she was only mentioned in the preface of the 1st volume as a brave traveling companion. It was only her husband who made a career with the scientific results of the expedition. In 1916, he became the chairperson of the Institute of Geography at the Cologne Commercial College, which later became the University of Cologne. Franz Thorbecke left his mark on the institute, giving lectures with titles such as German Colonies in Africa, African Landscapes and Colonial Spaces, and the Tropics and Their Colonial Spaces. His commitment to the German colonial idea went so far that in 1936, he was commissioned by the university's rector to represent him in all colonial issues that would be brought to the university in the future. Outside the academic sphere, he was invited to numerous conferences and lecture events where he spoke about the experiences of the expedition and published popular science texts. These included articles for the Koloniale Rundschau, the Deutsche Kolonialzeitung, and the Westdeutsche Wirtschaftszeitung. He also participated in exhibition projects such as the 1934 special exhibition, The Peoples of the German Colonies in Africa, at the Raudenstrauch-Joist Museum in Cologne. There, Franz and Marie Paulina Thorbecke exhibited their private artifact collection, as well as about 20 of the watercolors Marie Paulina had made during the trip. As for Marie Paulina Thorbecke, she campaigned publicly for the strengthening and later reclamation of the German colonies. She particularly tried to inspire young people and women with the colonial idea. For example, in 1921, she wrote the pro-colonial fiction novel titled Chief Ngambe, A Tale from Cameroon, in which the brave chief, with the help of German colonial power, beat back his predatory neighbors after long battles and was able to live in peace from then on. She also published her travel diary titled On the Savannah, became involved in the Cologne branch of the Women's Association of the German Colonial Society, and wrote articles for the Deutsche Kolonialbuch and the Kölnische Zeitung. In 1980, The ethnological collections in the then Rijks Museum exhibited the Torbeke's collection, which they had left to the city of Mannheim, for the first time in public under the title Cameroon, Cultural People of the Savannah. Today, the pieces are stored and researched in the museum depot. They are therefore not currently accessible to the public. Marie-Paulina described their expedition as the high point of their life that brought her husband a fulfillment of his highest expectations, to conduct his research and at the same time serve the fatherland. This gives us a sort of idea of the kind of legacy the Torbeckers hoped to leave behind. Today, Frans and Marie-Paulina are mostly remembered in academic circles for their research, observations, and documentation of Cameroon in the early 20th century. Some of the existing literature presents their expedition, as well as the way they acquired African artifacts, as civilian and peaceful. But in many accounts, their mistreatment of Africans is hardly ever mentioned, and neither is the privilege that their race afforded them as they purchased items for the ethnological collection. This podcast is a mini-series created by Lara and I, Cheruto. It is a project by Kulturweit Tandems of the German Commission for UNESCO, produced in cooperation with the Rijks Engelhorn Museum. Thank you for tuning in. You can also listen to the recent episode where we talked about Theodore Bumila and a trail of artifacts from Tanzania, Burundi, and Rwanda, the former German East Africa.